right, don't worry. We'll find it in the morning. I've got another one here.
Ready?
Stand by.
4, 3, 2, 1, 5.
I'm sorry, it's no good. It's over there in that flower bed somewhere.
I've lost it, Daddy. I can't find it.
I've got it.
Here it is, Daddy.
Thank you. Watch it, Christopher. 4, 3, 2, 1, fire. Fire, that's good. Mark it, Mary. Right, Margaret.
Hello, Doc.
I'm sorry. Have you been here long?
No, just come. What's all this going on?
Oh, it's just a little thing I'm trying to find out. Look, here, I want you to just hold that for me.
Right.
Just over the center of the tub.
Uh-huh.
Got it? Right, well, make a note of this one. 13'3". That's all right, Doc. Thank you very much.
Hello, Doc.
Hello, darling.
Oh, you get to look at Elizabeth now. I hope it isn't tonsils.
Well, she looks all right. Where's your mother?
In the house.
Come on, let's go in, shall we?
I'll be in a minute. Stay and have some tea.
Thanks very much.
Well, now, let's just try and get one or two more shots before it's too dark. Thank you. Watch out, Mary. Watch it, Christopher.
I don't think there's anything to worry about here.
Ready?
Temperature's all right.
Stand by.
Quite a lot of these throats running around this spring.
Four,
I expect you'll find she'll be all right in the morning.
Good. Now, run along to bed, darling, and I'll bring you up some supper later on.
Oh, but I've got to help Daddy play marbles.
No, it's too late now, dear.
Good night, Doctor.
Good night, Elizabeth.
All right, let's try one more.
Good night.
Good night, darling.
3, 2, 1, 5.
He seems to be having a fine old game out there. What's it all about?
Just some problem he's trying to solve before tomorrow afternoon. He's been at it for days now. He was out there at 5 o'clock this morning in the rain.
Hmm.
Doctor, when I called you this afternoon, it wasn't really about Elizabeth. It was Barnes.
You don't think he's well?
Oh, he's all right at present, but he won't be for much longer. He can't be if he goes on like this. 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock, night after night, and after a hard day at his real job at Vickers. He hardly went to bed at all last night. He's wearing himself out. I wish you would have a talk with him. I think he might listen to you.
See what I can do, but you know what he is.
Well, how's Elizabeth?
Oh, she's all right.
You don't think it's tonsils?
No. But I'll keep an eye on her. Don't you worry.
Tea's stone cold, Barnes. I called you twice.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you know I've got a lot of very useful stuff here. It's only a question now of working it out on paper.
Another late night?
Oh, I don't know. It depends. In any case, this part's easy compared with what's coming. Well, have a cup of tea, Doc.
Well, if you're going...
I'll make some fresh.
No, don't worry. I'll do it.
No. You sit down and take off those wet shoes.
Better see to the blackout first.
I'll give you a hand.
Wait a minute. Come out here and listen. Sounds like another big one.
Surely they won't be able to stand up to many raids like these.
Oh, they wouldn't if we could really get at them, but we don't. It's like trying to kill a giant by firing at his arms and legs with thousands of pea shooters instead of a clean bullet through the heart. Well, you know what happened when they tried to wipe out London.
Yes. Here's your tea, Barnes. Don't let this get cold.
I'm coming. Doc, you remember the night I told you about that earthquake bomb idea of mine?
Yes, that was the time of Dunkirk. You told me the idea, but not what you wanted it for.
Come over here. Do you know how much water it takes the Germans to make a ton of steel?
Haven't the least idea.
100 tons. Now, just look at this. The whole of this great arsenal of war factories in the Ruhr depends for its water on 3 enormous dams. The Myrna, the Eder, and the Zorpa. They control the level of the canals and supply a lot of hydroelectric power as well. When those are full, they hold 400 million tons of water. Just think of the chaos if we could break those walls down. Now, this is what I wanted to do. Drop a 10-ton bomb from 40,000 feet that would seal itself in the roots of the wall. Well, the shock waves would be tremendous. real earthquake.
But could you hit a target that size from 8 miles up?
Well, I reckon that a near miss, even 50 feet, would do the job.
Is there an aeroplane that'll carry a 10-ton bomb?
No, but I was going to design one.
What happened?
Well, a committee was set up and we went into it. But in the end, I discovered I hadn't made sufficient allowance for the cushioning effect of the water. We should need a 30-ton bomb, and that's too heavy for any aircraft we could produce at present. Sugar?
No, thanks.
Oh, carry on.
Well, just a little. But you know, Barnes, I still don't see why you need such a special bomb.
No. This dam's about 120 feet thick. Solid masonry all through. We've just proved that a bomb 20 times the size of the biggest bomb now in use wouldn't even tickle it. Besides, we can't float anything down the lake because they've got these two huge booms stretching right across it. We can't even get at it under the water because these booms support thick steel nets which would stop a flotilla of submarines, let alone torpedoes.
As I see, you can't bomb it, you can't float a mine against it, and you can't torpedo it. Looks impossible.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? But the other day, I thought of a wonderful idea.
You found a way to do it?
Well, I think so. The only trouble is that the committee that's inquiring into my original idea is meeting again tomorrow, and I rather expect they'll want to wind the whole thing up. Well, if they do, I'm done.
Why not go ahead with your new idea until you're ready, and then get them to form a new committee?
My dear fellow, you talk as if I could pull committees out of my hat. It took months, well, years almost, to get Whitehall to start this one. Oh, somehow or other, I must keep it alive until I'm ready. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to get back to your surgery?
Well, I ought to, really, you know. Barnes. Will you promise me something?
If I can.
Will you try and get away for Easter? You do need a rest, you know.
Do you think I'm going crazy? Well, a lot of people do, you know.
No, but you can't go on day and night, you know. Nobody can.
All right, then. Dr. Pye.
Hello, Wallace.
Would you do something for me?
I'll try.
Well, you've got a lot of influence over those fellows in there. Will you try to stop them winding the thing up right away?
They'd need a very convincing reason.
I've got a new idea. So it's quite different, don't you? I must have time.
Can you explain to them what it is?
That's just the point. I can't. Now, if I were to try to explain it to them now, they'd only laugh at me.
It's very difficult without knowing more about it.
Oh, yes, I do see that.
You'd better go in.
Surely Mr. Wallace must realize the false position he's putting us into. We were appointed to examine a definite proposition.
I don't think we were confined to any definite proposition. We were appointed to examine every possibility of air attack on these dams.
Yes, I know, but Mr. Wallace did put forward a theory that it was hopelessly wide of the mark. And on the strength of this, he now asks for time to explore a completely new theory that's too fantastic even to explain.
I'm only asking for one simple thing. I want you to give me sufficient time to discover how much explosive would be needed to breach these dams if we could explode a bomb directly against the wall.
How do you propose to get the bomb directly against the wall? Well,
that is what I'm working on now.
Yes, but surely you can give us some idea.
I don't think that we can press Mr. Wallace to do that. If I had a partly formed theory, I certainly shouldn't want to talk about it until it was clearly established in my own mind.
Right, sir.
How long would you need to carry out these new experiments?
Well, if Glanville will let me have the model dams at Harmonsworth again, I would say a week or 10 days.
How do you feel about that, Glanville?
Only too anxious to be of any help we can.
Right. Then I should like to propose that we formally adjourn for 2 weeks. Can I take it that the committee agrees to this? Splendid.
I'm so glad you could come down. I think you'll find this very interesting. Now, Glanville's people have rigged up two charges. This first one is equivalent to a 10-ton bomb 50 feet from the wall, as in the earlier experiments. This second one is only half that charge, but fixed to the wall itself. Both are at a depth equivalent to 30 feet.
Are we all ready, Collins?
All ready, Dr. Glanville.
You want us to take cover?
No, I don't think so. Not for the first minute, at any rate. If you'll all stand back over there.
All right, Collins, go ahead. You see, it isn't even scratched. You see, a very slight shock is recorded and then it returns to normal. Now, this is where I was wrong before. The cushion of water between the explosion and the wall absorbs the shock almost completely. Shall we have the second one? When you're ready. This should get our feet wet.
Watch it. Fire!
Good heavens. That's wonderful.
Wonderful.
And that is only half the charge of the first one. Do you see the difference when it's placed hard against the wall at the right depth? The cushion of water now acts in our favor instead of against us, and the shock waves go right through the wall. If we use this as a basis, Glanville and I have calculated we should only need 6,000 pounds of this new explosive, RDX, to breach the Myrna Dam itself. I can cut the case weight down and make a complete bomb of less than 5 tons. We shouldn't need a specially constructed aircraft either. The new 4-engine Lancaster we're now getting could carry a 5-ton bomb right through to the ruin.
If you can make the bomb.
Naturally.
And get it to explode in exactly the right position, hard against the dam wall, despite the protecting torpedo nets?
Of course, that's the essential thing.
But you still don't tell us how.
Well, if you're satisfied with what you've seen and I can have the proper facilities, I think I can do it.
What facilities do you want?
A testing tank, a really big one.
The biggest I know is the experimental ship tank at Teddington. National Physical Laboratory.
Could I use one of those?
I'll see what we can do. Well, goodbye.
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 Goodbye. And keep at it. I think you've got something.
Three, 2, 1, 5. 110, 136. Thank you. That's no good. It's too short. Try 2 foot 6.
Well, gentlemen, when you asked us to let Barnes Wallace use this tank of ours, I didn't expect it to be still here after 5 months.
I don't think we did, either.
We've urgent experiments waiting for this tank. Has he given you the slightest idea how long he's going to be? It's making things very difficult.
He's exploring something entirely new. You can't hurry this kind of research.
I know, and if I thought he was getting anywhere, but he doesn't seem to me to be doing so. At any rate, he doesn't tell me anything.
He spends hours and hours shooting golf balls up and down. Every now and then he breaks a window.
Look. Couldn't you find him some quiet duck pond in the country, some place where he could shoot things up and down without being a nuisance to other people?
We'd better have a word with him. Is he there now?
Always there. Didn't go home at all last night.
Why was that?
I don't know. I expect he forgot. He only has lunch about once a week.
All right.
Stand by.
Once again.
3, 2, 1...
Take care, I got that all right.
150-203.
Splendid. We'll try that again.
Oh, hello. Hello.
You couldn't have come at a better time. You know, it's extraordinary how these things happen. One goes on and feels as if one's up against a brick wall forever, and then suddenly it's as if a light flashes on and everything slips into place.
If you'll come along here. I've got a camera recording, but I think if you come along about the middle, you'll see everything perfectly. Right. All right. Just about where you are. Right, are you all ready?
Once again. To find a rule by which we can fix the height of each branch. You see, if the bomb is released too soon, it won't reach the dam. If it's released too late, it'll bounce over it and explode directly under the aircraft, killing everyone. But now, we've got it. Just wait here a moment, and I'll do that again.
Right. 3, 2, 1, 1!
You see? It wasn't a fluke. It works.
Well, that seems to be conclusive.
You know, it's extraordinarily good of you to have been so patient.
Not at all. Glad we could help.
I'm afraid that at times, dude, you must have thought I was absolutely cockeyed.
Oh, my dear fellow, that's the last
thing. I shouldn't blame you if you did. You know, there's such a very thin dividing line between inspiration and obsession that
Sometimes it's very hard to know which side we're really on.
Will you need the tank anymore?
Well, if I could have it till the end of the week, just to check my calculations and complete the report.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. You'll leave on Saturday.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, after what you've seen today, you'll put in a satisfactory report.
Certainly. I think this ought to convince the committee.
Splendid.
After that, it's a matter for the Ministry of Aircraft Production.
Under normal conditions, we should go right ahead and give you every facility. But I'm afraid at the present moment, it's quite impossible.
But why, after that report?
You know how difficult things are, Mr. Wallace. The shipping losses. 500,000 tons last month alone. Most of it vital war material. We haven't an ounce to spare for anything except the highest priority.
But surely I only want to make a few half-sized dummy prototypes of my bomb.
A new weapon like this would need highly skilled labor. Special machine tools, factory space. Our factories are stretched to the last inch of their capacity. And you know the acute shortage of skilled labor.
But you're making new weapons all the time.
Oh, we're always trying to improve upon weapons of known value. It's a different matter when we come to revolutionary ideas. I might almost say fantastic ones like this. You mustn't think we're unimaginative or lukewarm. We all see the possibilities and we'd like to go ahead. At present, I'm afraid it's out of the question. Possibly next year, when things may be easier.
Then, for goodness sake, let's go as far as we can now, even if it doesn't go beyond these half-sized prototypes. You could practically make those in a bicycle shop.
Even if we made a few dummy bombs, you say you need a Wellington bomber for test drops. They're worth their weight in gold. Do you really think the authorities would lend you one? What possible argument could I put forward to get you a Wellington?
Well, if you told them that I designed it, do you think that might help? After the success of the trials, they'll let me go right ahead with the real thing.
Well, personally, I'd like to see you go straight ahead. But if anything, the position's more difficult today than it was when I saw you last month.
How so?
We can't even produce enough of our existing types of bombs, much less begin to work on something completely new and completely unpredictable.
But surely they must realize if we can burst those dams and flood the Ruhr Valley, they can save the thousands of bombs that they're dropping on the factories there.
I can only pass on to you the decision of the Ministry, Mr. Wallace. Of course, it might help if you could get the support of somebody with personal influence.
Whom do you suggest?
Why not go and see Sir Edward Hughes?
I've seen him twice.
Also George Burnett?
I've seen him three times.
Hmm. Well, then, of course, there's Lord Mansell.
I sat outside his office all yesterday morning. He was too busy.
Oh. Well, why not see Sir Geoffrey Haynes?
I sat outside his office all the afternoon.
I see. Well, in that case, for the present, I think you've done everything you possibly can.
Have you seen Mr. Summers?
I think you'll find him in the testing shed, Mr. Wallace.
Right.
How'd you get on?
It's hopeless.
What happened?
Nothing. I walked up and down Whitehall, in and out of offices, up and down stairs, sat outside rooms. I felt like a peddler trying to sell clockwork toys.
I wish there was something I could do.
There is, Matt.
What?
Let's take the whole thing straight to Bomber Command.
Harris?
Yes, you're one of the few men who really know him. If he sees the films and gets interested, well, it'll only need one word from him.
Why not?
Well, there's a bit of a snag there. See, he gets so inundated with fantastic inventions.
That's ridiculous. Why, everything he's using had to be invented. Look, if you tell him that it's worthwhile, he'll listen to you, won't he?
I'll do what I can, but don't blame me if he throws us both out of the window.
Will you come in, please? Mr. Summers and Mr. Barnes Wallace, sir.
Hello, Matt. Wallace?
Good morning.
What is it you want?
I've got an idea for destroying the Ruhr dams. The effects on Germany would be enormous.
I know all that. I've read the report. But do you really think you can knock down a dam with that thing?
Yes.
Well, it looks clever enough on paper. That goes for all these wheezy ideas. When you try to make them work, they fall down flat.
This one doesn't.
How do you know?
We've tested it and proved it. I've got some films here I would like you to see.
Well, if you proved the thing, why hasn't it been taken up?
I don't know. But the films only take 5 minutes to run. You could see them and decide for yourself.
Well, all right. Send the projectionist out of the room. If this thing's as good as you say, there's no point in letting everybody know. Thornby can run the film.
Is that you, Barnes?
Hello. It's raining a bit. I shouldn't be surprised if it turns to snow.
Yes, it is cold, isn't it? How'd you get on?
With Harris, so he was all right.
What's he like? Is he very fierce?
Oh, no. He listened to what I had to say and saw the films.
Oh, was he interested?
Yes, I think so. But it doesn't make any difference now, anyway, because the whole thing's over. Washed out and done with.
That's impossible. What happened?
When I got back to Weybridge, they sent for me and told me that the people in Whitehall had decided that I was making a nuisance of myself, wasting everybody's time, including my own, and that the whole thing was dropped.
What did you do?
Well, the only thing I could do, I resigned.
You resigned? From Vickers?
Mm-hmm.
Surely this doesn't affect your other work.
Sweetheart, when you believe in a thing as much as I have believed in this, there really isn't any other work until you've seen it through.
What will you do?
Oh, I really haven't thought about that yet. It's a new experience to find myself unemployed.
The first thing you'll do is to have a rest. We'll get away somewhere.
Oh, no, I don't think so. It wouldn't be much fun in a farmhouse in winter or in some dreary wartime hotel. Oh, there's plenty to do here, too. I must see about the toolhouse door, see if I can get it to work properly. Ah, I've been meaning to repair the chicken run for years. Well, after that, I can look around for some way of earning a living. I suppose I can get a job teaching somewhere.
Oh, a secretary rang up just before you got in. The Ministry of Aircraft Production want to see you in the morning.
I've had enough of the Ministry of Aircraft Production and all the rest of them.
They said it was important.
Yes, I dare say it is to them. Oh, they'd enjoy giving me a lecture on minding my own business. Personally, I'd prefer to dig the garden. If it doesn't snow, I think I'll put in a few broad beans.
Isn't it a bit too early?
Well, I don't know. They're very hardy. 1 year I planted a row in November, and they came up a couple of inches by Christmas.
I think you ought to go, Barnes.
Perhaps you're right. It'd be a good thing if I told them exactly what I think. It was a whole bunch of them.
Mr. Wallace, sir.
Ah, hello, Wallace. I was trying all over the place to get hold of you yesterday.
You needn't have troubled.
What do you mean, I needn't have troubled?
They told me the news at Vickers. If you've got to tell me officially, well, I suppose you've got to have your say. Then I'll have mine.
But they know nothing about it yet. The news only came through in the afternoon. Naturally, I wanted you to be the first to know. What did they tell you?
The whole thing was off. Done with. Finished.
I don't know who said that. It didn't come from us. What I'm telling you now is official. Orders have just come through from Downing Street that it's to go ahead right away. The Prime Minister's enthusiastic about it. Now, time is the vital element now. The dams must be attacked early in May when the water level's at its highest. After that, the level begins to drop.
Naturally, I know that. I made it clear in my report.
It only leaves a bare 2 months to train a squadron and prepare the bombs. Can you do your part in that time?
Well, I'll do my best.
That's how it is. I expect you all want to get back to your groups. I want a maximum effort tonight and see if we can't get a real knock at Essen. Right. Cochran, don't go for a minute. What do you think of Wallace's idea for bursting the Ruhr dams?
It sounds a bit far-fetched, but personally, I think it can be done.
I hope you're right. Anyway, I've given it my support, and I've had orders to get ready. I want you to take it on.
Right, sir, I'd like to. It'll mean taking a squadron out of the line for special training.
No. We must form a special squadron for this, and man it with experienced crews who've just finished their present 30 trips. Some of those keen youngsters won't mind doing an extra one.
Have you anyone in mind to command the squadron?
Yes. Gibson.
Shutter's auto. Brad Shutter's auto. Brakes off!
Brakes off!
Well, you won't have to wait for me for a long, long time. No, you won't. Going on holiday. Down to Cornwall. Rabbits. Rabbits, boy. Hey.
Come on, Skipper. You'll miss the bus.
Okay. Come on, nigger. Come on, boy.
There's a show called Let's Face It at the Hippodrome.
That's the Cole Porter musical.
You seen it?
Yeah, I saw it last fall. But I'll see it again.
Full Swing at the Palace with Jack Hulbert. Can you walk straight in on these shows nowadays, or do you have to book?
You can't get into the stalls because of the Americans. But most nights you can get in somewhere.
There's four of us for London, Skipper. If we can get the 3:15 tomorrow, we might do one of the shows before we split up.
That's all right, you can count me in.
We'll have a couple of taxis here at 2:30.
Excuse me, sir. There's a message for you from Group. The AOC would like to see you at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Right. You wait there, old boy. Stay there.
Wing Commander Gibson, sir.
Good morning, Gibson.
Morning, sir.
First of all, congratulations on the Bartyard DSO.
Thank you, sir.
You finished your third tour last night.
Yes, sir.
Would you be prepared to take on one more trip?
What kind of trip, sir?
I can't tell you much about it for the present, but it'll be a special one, and you'll command the operation. I'm afraid it'd mean putting off your leave. How do you feel about it?
All right, sir.
Good. It's going to need careful training. And the Commander-in-Chief wants a special squadron formed. It'll be best if you form it yourself. I'm telling all the squadrons they'll have to be prepared to give up some of their most experienced crews. They're not going to like it. Is Group Captain Whitworth, sir?
He's just arrived, sir.
Ask him to come in.
What kind of training is it to be, sir? What sort of target?
I can't tell you the target yet, but it'll be low flying. You've got to be able to low fly at night until it's second nature. Hello, Whitworth.
Good morning, sir.
You know each other?
Oh, yes, we're old friends. Hello, Gibson.
Hello, sir. You'll be following this squadron at Whitworth's main base at Scampton. I'm sorry I can't tell you any more at the moment, but the immediate job is to get your crews and get them flying. There's one other thing. You'll have to watch security. As far as others are concerned, this is just an ordinary new squadron.
Very good, sir.
Now go off with Group Captain Whitworth and he'll help you to get things going.
You'll find pretty well everyone that matters in here, sir. On this board or here in these albums.
Right, thank you. Now then.
No, thanks.
I'd go for these two Australians if I were you. Les Knight and Mickey Martin. Martin knows pretty well all there is to know about low flying.
Yes, I met him when he was collecting his DFC. I know this New Zealander, Les Munro. I'd like to have him. Oh, and Joe McCarthy. He's great.
Oh, the American. The glorious blonde. Used to be a Coney Island beach guard. We mustn't forget the English.
Here's Bill Astle. Oh, yes, and David Maltby. He's just started another tour.
And Hoppy Hopgood from my old squadron. I'd like to have Dave Shannon and Burpee from there, too. Well, we shan't be popular with the other squadron commanders if we start squeezing chaps like these from. There are two I'd like as flight commanders, Henry Maudsley and Dingy Young. Do you know them?
I know Young well. I taught him to fly in the Oxford University Air Squadron. He was a rowing blue. Yes, Henry Maudsley's a darn good athlete, too. He's a miler, I think. Yes, you couldn't have picked two better chaps. What about your own crew?
Well, they're off on leave this afternoon. They've had a hard tour, and they must be sick of the sight of me by now. I'll leave them alone. Go on, Nigger.
Hurry up, Skipper. You'll miss the train.
You fellas had better go ahead. I shan't be coming.
Why? What's happened?
Nothing much. They've given me another job.
What, a staff job?
No. Forming a new squadron.
What? Not before you leave.
Yeah. Look. You tell the boys, will you, Trevor? Well, you chaps have to hurry if you're going to get the 3:15. You needn't bother about that, Crosby. I'm not going.
Not going, sir?
No, but you needn't unpack everything again, because we're moving to Scampton. You go and get your dinner.
Very good, sir.
What are you messing about for? I told you, I'm not going.
Skipper, this new squadron, are you going to fly with it?
Well, of course I'm going to fly with it.
Well, you'll need a crew, won't you?
Of course, but there's nothing in that. I'll get one, all right.
Oh, you mean you've had enough of us? You want to get rid of us?
I didn't say that.
Well, we've just had a committee meeting. There's a general opinion that it's not going to be safe to let you fly about with a lot of new people who don't know how crazy you are. It's the general opinion that you'll need us to look after you.
Well, if that's what you want to do, all right. I think you're the crazy ones. A whole bunch of you.
Two more beers, please.
There's 11 DFCs already, and 3 bars. You can bet your boots it's going to be something big.
They say it's a special squadron to kidnap Hitler.
Who's that big dark fella by the table?
Oh, that's Young, Gibson's second in command. Dingy Young, they call him, because he always comes down in the sea and paddles home in his rubber boat. Oi, here's Gibson. He's done 173 sorties already.
Stay there, Nigger. Stay there, boy.
Oh, you know most of the chaps, I think. Right, carry on, Pete.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Dingy.
McCarthy, sir.
Oh, yes, of course. Glad to have you with us. Hello, Maudsley. You two chaps are going to be my flight commanders.
What's it all about, sir?
Oh, you'll find out sooner or later.
Oh, you met Mickey Martin, haven't you?
Yes, of course. Hello, Mickey. I wanted you for this.
You're the low-flying expert. You'll be able to tell us all about it.
Low-flying?
Fine.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Hoppy. Hello, Shannon.
I found Nigger outside. Can I stand him a beer?
Yes, providing you don't give him more than a pint.
Right. And don't drink it too quickly or you'll get hiccups. Well, sir, when are we going to get something to fly in?
They're sending the first batch of Langs tomorrow. The 10 they promised us to get started with. Have them flown and tested tomorrow. We can begin this afternoon dividing the crews into flights. The first job will be to fly over every big lake in England and Wales and photograph.
Lakes?
Lakes.
Crews are already in the briefing room, though.
Right, I'll come. You can sit down. Well, here we are all together for the first time. You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself. But I do know it's a big thing. And if it comes off, it'll have results that may do quite a bit to shorten this war. Discipline is going to be essential. So is security. It's unusual for a crowd like you to be formed into a new squadron, so you're going to be talked about. Rumors are flying about already, but you've got to keep your mouth shut. Everything depends on secrecy in a show like this. If we can surprise them, then we'll play hell with them. But if they're ready for us, then the hell's going to come from the other side. Now, I understand that the job, whatever it is, has got to be done at low level. So the first thing is to practice low flying day and night until we can do it with our eyes shut.
This is Wing Commander Guy Gibson.
Oh, good morning. I'm glad you've come. My name's Barnes Wallace.
Morning, sir. Well, I'll leave you to it. See you later.
Right, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Mutt.
Would you like to put those things down? Right. Give me that.
Thank you.
I don't smoke, but there's sometimes a cigarette in here. Yes, sir, yeah. Thanks. Well, I don't suppose you know very much about all this at present.
I don't know anything about anything yet.
Oh, but you know the target.
No, not the faintest idea.
Oh, my dear boy. Well, I thought they'd have told you. Well, this makes it very awkward.
Well, isn't that what I've come here for, to be told by you?
Oh, no, not the target. That's dreadfully secret. I'm afraid I can't tell anybody whose name isn't on this list. Still, I'll tell you as much as I dare. Well, you see, there are certain objects in enemy territory that are very big and quite vital to his war effort. They're so big that ordinary bombs won't hurt them. But I've got an idea for a special type of bomb. Only it would have to be dropped at very low level.
Oh, they've told us about low flying.
Well, they have. Oh, well, that's something. Well, I don't know if you're scientifically minded.
Well,
in any case, it wouldn't be necessary for you or any of your crews to understand the theory and mathematics of the weapon.
I'd like to try and understand it if I can.
Oh, you would? Oh, splendid. Well, I'll explain it all to you later on paper. But first of all, I'd like you to see some films. You can leave the things here. It's only in the next room. Ready? Right. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's bring up a couple of chairs. Huh?
Right. Now, these are the first dropping tests at the Chesil Beach near Weymouth. Here comes the Wellington. Mutt Somers is the pilot, and I'm working the release gear. Now, in a moment, you'll see the bomb. There it goes. Now, watch. Now we switch to one of the big testing tanks at Teddington. These pictures were taken much earlier when I was experimenting with miniatures, but they show what the bomb does underwater. There it goes. Now that's exactly how a full-size bomb would behave. At 30 foot down, a hydrostatic pistol would automatically explode the charge. Well, you can see now why this low flying is so important. Each aircraft will only be able to carry one bomb, and it must be dropped from exactly 150 feet at a speed of 240 miles an hour. Above or below that height and speed, and it just doesn't work. Take a chair, won't you? Yes, I'm sorry we're tied so closely, but, well, you see, it's all a question of gravity and mathematics. I'm afraid I'm asking a great deal of you. Do you think you can fly to those limits?
Well, it's hard to say offhand. The altimeter's no good at that level, but... Well, they've given me some of the best pilots in the Air Force, so we'll see what we can do. You haven't tested the full-size bomb yet, have you?
No, it's being assembled now. I hope to try it in a week or 10 days.
Do you really mean that a 5-ton bomb can bounce along the water like a ping-pong ball?
It's been hard to persuade some people that it will, but... I've every reason to believe it'll behave exactly like those miniatures.
Well, how far from the target do we drop the bomb?
Ah, that's the third factor that I'm afraid requires absolute accuracy. I've got a little more work to do on it, but I think it'll be 600 yards.
Did you invent this thing out of your own head?
Well, yes. I think I may say I invented it.
Well, I think it's terrific.
I thought so at one time, but I'm beginning to think that the job of inventing it was small compared with the job of dropping it.
Well, we'll do our best. I'm talking right in the dark at present. If only I knew what the target was.
Yes, well, I've told you as much as I dare. I hope they'll tell you the rest when you get back.
Well, Gibson, there it is. That's your main target. The Myrna Dam.
So that's it. I thought it was going to be the Tirpitz.
If you can blow a hole in this wall, you'll bring the Ross steel industry to a standstill. And do much other damage besides. I'm showing you the targets, but you'll be the only man in the squadron who knows, so keep it that way.
Very good, sir.
And these are the models of the two other dams, the Ada and the Sorpe. But the Myrna is the most important.
I see, sir.
Come along and study these as often as you like. We're having regular reconnaissance to see what they're doing over there and watch the height of the water. And the operation must be carried out when the lakes are full.
When's that likely to be, sir?
About the middle of May. We'll need a good moon as well. So it looks as though we're tied to a night between the 12th and the 17th. By the time the next full moon comes around, the water level will have started to fall again, so that's our only chance this year, about 5 weeks from now. How's the training going?
Oh, pretty well, sir. Except for the low flying.
Yes, I guess you'll be in trouble over there.
It's fairly easy by day, but night flying over water at 150 feet is pretty near impossible.
You can't trust your altimeters.
Well, not to the limits Mr. Wallace wants. He insists on 150 feet, not a foot below or a foot above. I'd hope we could get over it by practice, but on still nights, when the water is smooth, there's a sort of no man's land between the dusk and the water.
Well, I've got the Farnborough experts on that. I hope they'll come along with an idea. By the way, Wallace is going to test the full-size bomb at Reculver tomorrow. I'd like you to go down and watch. Take your bombing leader with you.
Right, sir.
Can I see your passes, please? Thank you.
Hello, Gibson.
Hello, sir. This is Bob Hay, my bombing leader.
I'm sorry to drag you here so early. We had to catch the high tide. It goes right out here, so when it's low, we can wade in and find the bombs and see how they stand up to the shock of impact.
Have you started yet?
Oh, yes. We've dropped two already.
How did they go?
Not too well, I'm afraid. The casing broke. We're testing another. Well, they're due now, in a minute.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Sorry to bring you all the way here to see that. There's no need to worry. I'll get it right. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I shall have to strengthen the casing. I'll begin work at once.
Well, how long will it take?
Well, a few days. Directly the tide's out, we'll collect the fragments and see what happened.
I said all along it wouldn't work.
I'm afraid you must think me rather a fraud.
Not at all, sir.
But you know, things nearly always happen like that at first when you're trying something new.
Yes, I'm sure they do.
How are you getting on with the low flying?
It's awfully hard to get accuracy. I mean, to within a few feet, especially at night over water. Still, we'll find some way of doing
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, it must be very difficult.
Bomb aiming is another headache, sir. The ordinary bomb sight isn't accurate enough at such a low level. And you want the aircraft to drop their bombs dead on the same spot, one after the other.
Yes, yes, within a few feet.
Well, we look after our own headaches and leave you to look after yours.
Yes, I'm afraid that's all we can do at present. Oh, I shall get it right within a few days. You must try and come down again.
I'd like to, sir.
Good luck. Good luck to you. And to those boys of yours.
Thanks.
Tide's going out. I must wade in and collect some of the pieces.
Can we help?
Oh, no, no. I'm used to it. I just feel about in the mud with my toes. Sometimes I get a bit of bomb. Sometimes it's cockles.
We're going to fly at a level 150 feet in the dark. That's what I want to know.
Maybe if we let the navigator down on the end of a 150-foot wire. When he calls out, we'll know we're too low.
No bomb sight that works at low level, a bomb that falls to bits, no way of flying at 150 feet, and the raid at all costs in 5 weeks. Otherwise, everything's marvelous.
We've got to go through London, so let's have a darn good dinner, a bottle of wine, a musical with lots of dazzling girls,
and a night train back.
Now hold it. What's too much?
No,
down. Now, hold it now. Fine.
Sir, have a drink to celebrate. We've done the trick.
What trick?
Flying at 150 feet. No need for altimeters, no need for anything else.
Well, how's that?
A simple couple of spot lamps. One in the nose, the other in the belly. Trained to shine down and meet together at 150 feet below the aircraft.
All you've got to do is to watch through the cockpit blister and keep the two spots plumb together on the ground or the water, and there you are at 150 feet. Accurate to an inch.
Yeah, but that would mean carrying lights right into the attack.
But that's better than finishing up on the drink.
That's wonderful. How did you think of it?
Oh, genius. Pure genius. We gave the idea to Farnborough and they did the rest.
Still need a bomb site that'll work at low level.
And when are we going to get some real bombs?
You know, it's getting on these fellows' nerves, not knowing a damn thing about anything.
Yeah, I know. But the old boy's got new trials on Friday. You ought to go down again. He's pretty sure it'll work this time.
Business, isn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
What are you going to do?
I think I know the trouble. I must work on it again.
Well, here we are, the 22nd of April. Deadline date for the raid, the 19th of May. That's barely 4 weeks.
Give me a few more days. A week at most.
If we're going to change the design, the factories will never do it.
I shan't change the design. I must just strengthen the casing and try a new method of release.
Oh, well, a week from today. If it doesn't work then, we shall have to call it off. There's nothing else we can do.
Hello there!
Oh, hello, Gibson. I was wondering if you were here.
I was watching from down there.
Oh, why didn't you come and watch with me here?
Oh, I knew how you must be feeling. I guess you'd rather be alone. It's the devil, isn't it?
Yes, it is, rather. It's most disappointing. I shall have to go all out on some modifications. I wonder if I could ask you to do something.
Well, of course, anything I can.
Well, you see, it isn't only the structure of the bomb that's the trouble. It's in the bopping of it. We must lessen the force of the impact. I asked you originally if you could fly in over water and drop the bomb at 150 feet. I wonder if you could do it at 60 feet.
Oh, that's very low.
Oh, yes, yes, I do realize that.
You'd only have to hiccup to finish in the drink.
Yes, I've got no right to ask you to do a thing like that, but I'm afraid it'll be our only way.
Well, we've had a bit of luck anyway. We found a way of fixing our height with spot lamps.
Oh?
I'll have them altered for 60 feet and have a crack at it tomorrow.
You will? That's splendid. If it's too dangerous, you mustn't hesitate to let me know.
Oh, we'll do it all right.
As a poultry farmer doing his best in the food crisis, I wish to protest against the stupid young men who indulge in idiotic joyriding at all hours of the night. It may be good fun for them. But I would point out that every time they come over our poultry houses, my hens lay premature eggs that drop off the perches and mess up the floor. This means a serious loss to both me and the country.
Something here.
You were right about that tree. We did take the top off.
Well, I know where it came from. I suppose you better send it back.
Well, it's now or never, Mutt.
Don't you worry. It's going to be all right. You better get a move on. It's a good half-hour's drive to Reculver.
Take a longer run in to be certain of that altitude.
I'll watch it.
Well, good luck.
You pray for me, I'll pray for you.
If he doesn't hurry up, it'll be dark. The poor chap's probably hoping it will be dark. The time I've wasted on this damn thing is driving me crazy.
Well, it'll all be over soon, one way or another.
Sorry to keep you all waiting. There are so many last-minute things to attend to.
Go ahead. Better get a move on.
Hello, Gibson. Ah, we've had an awful day. I never thought we'd do it. These observer fellows, I felt like a man being driven out for execution.
Don't say another word. You've looked over there and wished.
What?
New moon.
Oh.
Have you wished?
Oh, yes. And you?
Yep. That's our moon's going to be a lucky one.
I hope so. Oh, I do hope so.
Well, we're all right on altitude. We can fly at 60 feet in the dark.
My dear boy, can you do that? That's absolutely splendid.
Yeah, we've been at it all week.
Here they come.
Good luck.
I've
never believed it possible.
Do you smoke, Wallace?
No, thanks.
I'll get through to the factories tonight and give them the green light. Will there be any final instructions for them?
No, not now. Just tell them to go right ahead on the same specifications they were given last week.
Well, Mr. Wallace, it must be a wonderful feeling to achieve a thing like this. To conceive something absolutely unheard of and carry it through with flying colors. How on earth did you ever get the idea?
Well, to be quite honest, it isn't really my idea at all. I got it from Nelson.
Nelson, you say?
Yes, he discovered that under certain conditions he could get more destructive results from his cannonballs by making them ricochet off the sea before hitting the enemy ships. Usually he pitched them quite short, about two-thirds of the way between his guns and the target. But there is some evidence to suggest that during the Battle of the Nile, he dismissed the French flagship with a Yorker.
Wing Commander Gibson, sir.
Good evening, Gibson.
Evening, sir.
I've been looking at the reconnaissance photographs that came in today. It looks as if the water will be at the level we need in a week's time. The moon's full next Tuesday. So, you see, we're pretty close to the deadline.
Well, we're all right on low flying now, sir, but there's still the matter of the special bombsight.
Yes, I know. I've had the backroom boys busy on that. You're going to laugh when you see this. Looks like a coat hanger from the Sixpenny Bazaar. You see the idea? Your bomb aimer keeps his eye to this little peephole. And when these two nails at the end of the arms are in direct alignment with the towers, then you'll be exactly 600 yards from the wall, and away goes your bomb. You think it's too simple?
Oh, no, sir. I'm all in favor of things being simple, but... Good Lord, it...
There it is. Try it out on the towers of the Derwent Water Dam.
Right, sir. Well, the sixpenny bomb sight works, and the spot lamps work. Now, we've flown 2,000 hours and dropped a good many more than 2,000 practice bombs. The specially converted aircraft are arriving tomorrow. So from now until the word go, I want you to practice flying them at your proper all-up weights. You can work that out, Dingy. Don't forget that some of the armor's been taken out, and don't exceed 63,000 pounds, otherwise we shan't get off. Any problems?
You want the front gunner to stay in his turret the whole time?
Oh, yes, he'll have to deal with the flat guns.
The trouble about that is his feet. They dangle in front of the bomb and he must face. How about fixing up stirrups to get his feet out of the way and make him more comfortable?
That's a good plan.
Have you any idea when we're going, sir?
Probably within a week. But keep it under your hats. You won't have to put up with being called the armchair squadron much longer.
2 months without an operation, it's getting a stale joke now.
There was damn nearly a riot yesterday when a fellow from 57th Squadron started it again.
Our fellows would feel better if they blew up steam.
All right. The next time anyone starts being funny, have a riot. All right, that's all.
Have you seen squadron orders?
Yes.
Any news?
No, same old stuff.
Well, it's good to have an evening off for once.
Yeah, 16 ops last month. 7 in the first 2 weeks in May. What are you fellas going to do when you've worn those armchairs out?
Joke, you know. Can't you take it?
We're getting a little tired of it. Come on, chaps, off with their bags.
Captain's asking for you, sir. He's waiting outside.
Boys from 57 Squadron. Shot his mouth off once too often, set things going.
Oh. I've just had word from Group. Weather reports are good. If it holds like this, you'll do the job tomorrow night.
Good. What about the bombs?
They're arriving now.
Glad we're going.
There's no harm telling your flight commanders, but keep it to yourselves.
Right. Well, break up that show in there and get the boys to bed.
Fine. Well, I'll see you in the morning. Good night, guy.
Good night.
Yes.
Be seated, gentlemen, please.
For the past 6 weeks, you've been wondering why this squadron has been formed. And the purpose for which...
Now, get some carry on.
Well, the training's over. For obvious reasons, you've had to work without knowing your target or even your weapon. You've had to put up with a good deal from other people who think you've been having a soft time. But tonight, you're going to have the chance to hit the enemy harder and more destructively than any small force has ever done before. You're going to attack the great dams of Western Germany. Here are your targets. Here's the Murder Dam. That's the Ader. And there's the Sorpe, all just east of the Ruhr. Now, we shall attack in three formations. The first will take the Murner Dam as its first target, then carry on to the Ader. That'll be 9 aircraft in 3 waves, taking off 10 minutes between each wave. I'll lead the first with Hopgood and Martin. Young leads the second with Maltby and Shannon. And Maudsley the third with Knight and Astle. The second formation will consist of 5 aircraft. Joe McCarthy, Byers, Barlow, Rice, and Munro. They'll go by this northern route to attack the Sorpe, and also act as a diversion to split up enemy fighters. The third formation will follow as a mobile reserve to fill in gaps. That'll be 5 aircraft. Townsend, Anderson, Brown, Otley, and Burpee. Now, there's a full moon tonight, so normal ops are out. We'll be the only people flying. And to avoid the fighters, we'll have to keep at 0 feet all the way there and back.
Can I say something about the route you've planned, sir?
Yes, go ahead.
I see you've taken it very near a synthetic rubber factory at Hulse. There's a great deal of flak around there. It's a hot spot. We nearly got the chop there about 3 months ago. Can I suggest we go a little farther north?
Yes, we knew about the Hulse flak when we planned the route. The trouble is, if we go much further north, we run into another hot spot round here. Anyway, we can take it up a little. Now, the gap isn't too wide. So watch it, you navigators.
What about the defenses on the dam, sir?
Reconnaissance shows them as being fairly light. But you'll see the photos in a minute.
Any balloons, sir?
Up till yesterday, the nearest ones were round a small factory 12 miles away. We don't expect any.
Sorry, old boy. It's secret. You can't go in. Now, come on, hop it.
Hello, nigger, old boy. What are you doing? Who are you looking for, eh? He's not in his office. You'd better try somewhere else. Go on, where you go? Double! Hello, nigger.
No, not near, old boy. Go on.
Hello, nigger, old boy. What are you doing around here?
Well, there it is. That's what the bomb does. The rest is for you. And may I say, good luck to you all.
You see, the Myrna Lake looks rather like a big double tooth. These strips of water are the routes with the dam here and the crown. Here's the Kolbecker Bridge, where we assemble. And here's the spit of land which gives us a head-on approach for the attack. Now, study these models. Get every detail of them in your heads until you know them with your eyes shut.
Now, get these code words off by heart. Goner is the word for the explosion of a bomb in the right place. Nigger is the code word for a breach in the Myrna Dam. And dinghy for a breach in the Ader.
You want me, Crosby?
I'm sorry, sir. It's Nigger. He's been run over. He's dead. The car didn't even stop.
Where did it happen?
Outside the main gate. He ran across the road, sir, and the car hit him.
Where is he?
In the guardrooms.
I see.
Bacon and eggs for me, please.
Are you flying tonight, sir?
Am I flying? You know perfectly well I'm the fellow who pays you every Friday fortnight.
Your bread and jam is on the center table, sir.
No harm in trying.
We've got the wrong oil.
It's all checked up this morning.
No, I don't mean that oil. It's the bomb release gear. Wallace has just discovered it. He's chasing around for the right car.
Can we get it?
Hope so.
Are you flying tonight, sir?
That's the general idea.
Can I have your next egg if you don't come back?
Okay. I'll have yours if you don't.
We've still got an hour. Let's go and put our feet up a bit before we change, huh?
Not a bad idea. Come on. Got anything for me?
Just one, sir.
It's only a mess bill.
£11.36. I think I'll pay that tomorrow.
Thank you.
It's all right. They had some of the lighter oil in store.
Oh, good.
They're changing it now.
Bit of luck you noticed it, sir.
Well, I'm afraid it was my fault. I didn't make it quite clear. What about some supper? Well, I think I'll have some later. Does it worry you having me about?
Good heavens, no. I'm jolly glad you came.
Was my talk at the briefing all right?
Oh, fine. You sold them that bomb, hands down.
Coffee, sir?
No.
Go on, have some. There's plenty of time.
No.
Evening's up. Flight.
Sir.
Just a minute. You know that Nigger was killed this afternoon?
Yes, sir. I'm very sorry, sir.
Will you do something for me? I'd like you to bury him at midnight on the grass verge outside my office.
Very good, sir.
I'd like you to do it then. Just about the time we're going into the job over there.
I see it's done, sir.
Hello, Hobby. Tonight's the night. Tomorrow we'll have a party.
Come in.
Laundry just in, sir.
Oh, great.
I'll have a clean shirt and a nice clean shave.
What do you want to shave for now?
Well, if we have to bail out, you never know who we might meet.
Well, there's no point in me bothering. If we come down together and there happens to be two about, I'm bound to get the ugly one.
Yeah.
Well, chaps, my watch says time to go.
How is she, Sergeant?
Bang on, sir.
Good.
All set?
Yes, sir.
Well, you've done a fine job with this team.
I couldn't have asked for a better one.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck.
Come on, then.
Okay, Hutch.
Pitch fully fine. Pitch fully fine. Check fuel. Fuel okay. Flaps 25 degrees. Flaps 25 degrees. Radiator shutters automatic. Radiator shutters automatic.
Well, I suppose there's nothing much we can do. Except wait.
The AOC is waiting to take us back to Grantham.
How's it going?
All right, so far, sir. The first wave's about 20 miles from the Dutch coast. Enemy radar's probably picked them up by now.
Cheer up, Wallace. This is your night as well as theirs.
Going over. The second wave should be coming up to the Dutch coast now.
Ahead. automatic.
He's run into trouble on the coast. McCarthy's going on to the Sorpy Dam by himself. Gibson's formation should be nearly at the Myrna by now. From G. George. That's all.
I'd hoped one bomb might do it.
Hello, M, Mother. It's your
by to go in.
Gunner from P. Popsy. That's all. Gunner, from A. Apple. That's all.
Hello, Jay, Johnny, are you ready? Okay, leader. All right, go ahead. We'll come in with you.
Thank you.
Jack.
You done it once.
Well done.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Gonna Z Zebra.
That leaves two more.
Coco, sir.
Are you in touch with the reserve formation?
All except Burpee, sir. He hasn't answered for some time. Gonna L Leather?
Okay, Dave, bang on, but you didn't break it. Hello, Infonuts. Are you ready to make your attack?
Ready, Leader.
As well.
Wallace, when you first came to me with this, I didn't believe a word you said. But now, you can sell me a pink elephant.
All right, boys, scram for home. They know we're here now, so keep your eyes open.
Thank you.
This is London. The Air Ministry have just issued the following communique. In the early hours of this morning, a force of Lancasters of Bomber Command, led by Wing Commander G.P. Gibson, DSO, DFC, attacked with mines the dams of the Myrna and Sauber reservoirs. These control two-thirds of the water storage capacity of the Ruhr Basin. Reconnaissance later established that the Myrna Dam had been breached over a length of 100 yards and that the power station below had been swept away by the resulting floods. The Ada Dam, which controls the headwaters of the Weser and Fulda valleys and operates several power stations, was also attacked and was reported as breached. Photographs show the river below the dam in full flood. The attacks were pressed home from a very low level with great determination and coolness in the face of fierce resistance. 8 of the Lancasters are missing.
Is it true? All those fellows lost?
Only 2 aircraft went down in the attacks. That was Hopgood's over the Myrr and Maudsley's over the Ada. Astle got it soon after crossing the coast, and Dingy Young was shot down over the sea on his way home. The rest we don't know about. They've been calling them since midnight, but they haven't answered. The flak was bad, worse than I expected.
56 men. If I'd known it was going to be like this, I'd never have started it.
Now, you mustn't think that way. If all these fellows had known from the beginning they wouldn't be coming back, they'd have gone for it just the same. There isn't a single one of them would have dropped out. I knew them all. I know that's true. Look, you've had a worse night than any of us. Why don't you go and find the doctor and ask for one of his sleeping pills?
Aren't you going to turn in, Gibby?
No, I have to write some letters first.